start they were apart. From their outposts of power gained from the destruction of innocence. They're the ones who gave us war. They're the ones who gave us trauma. The ones who gave us thought control. They're the ones who feed and sacrifice to their gods in need.
Any questions? Well, like everything else here, that aged well, I think. I'm sorry this season's been kicked off by, you know, there's a point where, you know, God is doing a work. You have to look at it from this perspective. God's doing a work. The occultists, they're pieces of shit. You know what I mean? They're just shit because they can't figure out that there's something other than them as gods, you know? And as I told you before, that's why everything's rotten for 1,000 years. There were good things in the United States, you know, back before, from time to time before the United States became such a powerful place. And then now the United States is the reigning fascist despot on the earth and also the most selfish. But really, the way I would categorize it is a totalitarian genocidal state that seeks to destroy its own people for the purpose of replacing them with those they can control. Totalitarian control. Now, how long ago was Lizards, the song there? Well, this version was from June 2016, but I guarantee you it was like, what, 10 years?
Yeah.
10 years old?
Something like that.
Okay, so it's like around 10 years old. And at the time it was written, people didn't even know what I was talking about. That's how pathetic we are. I'm talking about people that were in the prophecy hunt and, you know, listening to the fear mongers and the internet radio and the alternative this and that and, you know, all that. Didn't know shit. So I'm just like, so you every once in a while you say to yourself, I understand what the deal is. If I was somewhere else, this would probably go easier. And you know, I'm wondering, why would the Lord have me be accurate and then have it just ignored? And other people be false and have it worshipped. But then again, the answer is inherent in the question. Of course that's the way it is. I think the Bible says something like, I mean, you can't come out and say to people, I am this, and here is my, you know, I can't do that. It's up to people to see it. But what about, I mean, just take that song, for example. We're talking about, you know, the focus being to change the DNA of human well before it became a thing. And, of course, we understood this. You know, people say, well, we understood this for decades. Well, of course we understood it for decades. You know, we had already, you know, these sort of... you know, the Bertrand Russells and we had the H.G. Wellses and all that who wanted to modify, you know, a lot more than just DNA. I mean, they modify everything under their control, totalitarian control, and ended up using Orwell's 1984 as a, I guess, as some sort of manual. But it's a praise of stupidity, Orwell. He's being a complete idiot on purpose. Not to be like, oh, wow, Orwell, that's cool, man. Yeah, that's where we're headed. That wasn't it. It was more like, look how dumb these people are. Look how ephemeral these people are. Look how inconsequential these people are. Look at the lockdown and how everything has come to a halt. Or Fritz Lang's 1927 masterpiece, Metropolis, showing the German expressionism side of things. Oh, no one knows what that is. I don't know. So you know, at this point, I've got to call it, man. We're heading into it. And I think it'll be good for some people. You know, they need to be jarred from their, I guess, consciousness, their false consciousness given to them by the lizards. Given to them by the lizards. I love to call them lizards. They give you their consciousness. And it is a psychic link. I mean, when you see it, I mean, what is the lizard consciousness? It's the hive mind of the all-seeing eye. It's the occult. Please. It's like you forgot what you used to know 10 years ago. Time to remind ourselves, kids. We're not stupid. They're repeating the same old stupid crap, but we're not stupid, so we don't fall for it. And then the little test came up. God doing a little test with the bridge. Bridge on the River Kwai. And, you know, thank you, Pia, for that artwork, for that Zephyrport logo. It has the Alec Guinness on there. The bridge on the river, remember? The allegory about life. Okay. I know you're as frustrated as I am. I know you probably sat there at the, you know, you probably still have parents. You know, can you imagine? And you probably have brothers and sisters, right? And you sit down at the birthday or Thanksgiving or something, and it's just like you just want to kill yourself on the way home, right? I mean, you just like think about putting a bullet in your head. At least that's the way I used to be. I used to think about putting a bullet in my head, especially after something like that. Where there's no one there. There's no mom, no dad, no brother, no sister. There's no one. You're alone. So, but the Lord's always with you. That's why we've been praying a lot lately and getting close to the Lord, because there's great comfort there. There's great healing. I've experienced tremendous healing thanks to all the prayers and our prayers. And I just give myself over to the Lord to just guide me, because we can't, you know, go under the rubric of the lizard doctor. We can't have the lizard doctors, you know, the snake doctors, take over our health care. We can't give it all in the hands of, you know, one man or another. It's going to have to be the Lord guiding us from one thing to another, and to start one thing and stop another to maintain health. Okay, so the bridge incident. The latest on, like, YouTube is completely a joke, okay? You understand? If it were not a joke, I would put some of it I would broadcast it through this portal. But because it's, I can't find anyone that's... There are people posting people that don't even, that they're you know Jesus brothers and sisters, who are posting people that don't know Jesus and saying, yeah, this is, you know, change your frequency, change your consciousness. And I'm like, wait a sec, hey, hold on now. It's not that bad, is it? That you have to post, like, you know, people that have the sort of new age consciousness thing, and you just got to get positive and think about, you know, and we got to be, you know, that. I mean, I understand. I've got some of these guys, and God bless them, I have nothing against them, only against where they are leading you, me, it, others, leading you away from God and toward positive thinking. Positive frequencies, positive crystals, earth dwellers, earth mentality, rather than cosmic, right? Only they'll claim cosmic because that sounds good when you talk about Gaia. Gaia cosmic! I'm Gaia cosmic! I'm Gaia conscious! I was looking at the book that a guy I admired. He was a formidable teacher of history of religions back when I took his course, and he had graduated. He had been a student under people like Joseph Campbell and Mircea Eliade and others. You know, you've seen their book, you know, Parabola, and you've seen all their books and stuff, Friedhof Capra, and the New Age Conspiracy, you know, all that was really popular in the 80s and 90s. And remember the harmonic convergence? And yeah. Anyway, I saw his textbook on the shelf yesterday called Many People, Many Faiths. His name was Robert Elwood. I don't think he's with us anymore, but I don't know. And Many People, Many Faiths, you know. Now, the funny thing about him was he was a devout Christian. I think he was a Baptist or something. Yeah, very devout, like followed all the rules and was really into the whole denomination thing, you know. And then at the same time, he would take us around to the Zen Center, you know, for explain the difference between Rinzai and Soto Zen. And he would take us around to the Krishna Multimedia Extravaganza there on Venice Boulevard. And he would take us to the Vedanta Society, and we'd read the Bhagavad Gita. He encouraged learning Sanskrit and all this stuff. And in actuality, then his own faith was, you know, Christian, and his attitude was more like, all religions are true. But to be, you know, all religions are true. Well, I admit this, that all religions seem to require faith. That something will happen to you if you just abide in that religion, that things will get better. And I would suggest to the world that that's not the right way to look at it. It shouldn't be about you getting better or getting something or getting over it. It should be about, well, it isn't, but I mean, it should be about more or less, you know, humanity, the, you know, what does God want? Who is he? And a real philosophical debate on the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, and what that really means. We know that Oppenheimer drew a lot of, well, he won the Academy Award, you know. Oh, you mean the actor that played Oppenheimer? Oh, yeah. Oh, that means he must be smart, then. Funny, I didn't see that in the movie, but maybe when he's not acting, he's smart. I don't know. But we know that he drew inspiration from the symbology of Shiva, Lord of the Dance, the cosmic dance, the Shiva that you know that's dancing in the middle of the flames. And on the one hand of the dance is creation, on the other hand is destruction simultaneously. And at the same time, one of the feet of Shiva is on this little imp at the bottom that most people don't see. And that's called evil or wickedness. He's stomping out wickedness, paving the path for his followers. And then the Shiva is also in the form of a penis, a Shiva linga. You know, so wherever you, so now it's the penis, then it's the airlines, and then you know, then so then there's this sexual consort Parvati, the a goddess, and it gets very convoluted. But the bottom line of it is, if that leads you to the Vedas, then, and as I believe Oppenheimer was guided to the Vedas because it's, he was being very cool to break away from, you know, shittyanity. And wound up, you know, the Upanishads are it's like a bunch of poetry describing God and man, really, in the end. And coming to the conclusion, the crux of it all. I can just give you the Reader's Digest version so you don't have to really bother with it. But the crux of it is that, you know, man is God and God is man, right? Atman equals Brahman, Brahman equals Atman. Atman means man, Brahman is God. And so that is the, you know, micro is macro. It's really describing kind of a quantum physics. And indeed, you know, Vedic philosophy does describe quantum physics very well. And may have inspired, you know, Oppenheimer to, you know, to take the macro, i.e. a big explosive device, and then explode a tiny little atom or a hydrogen molecule or, you know, something really tiny, micro, macro, explosion. Yeah, no brainer. It's right there in the philosophy, in the philosophy section of your local university, or religion, or Eastern philosophy. And they still trapped in the lineage of Oppenheimer, Oppie baby. Trapped in the respect in the lineage of Einstein, they then postulated, let's get a really big macro, you know, a collider, and we'll take and split the you know, explode the smallest thing we can possibly find with that giant collider. Then we're going to know the secrets of God. That's the Oppenheimer, in some kind of way, gave us the secret to the whole universe, except that he didn't. Except that it's fall. Except that it couldn't go beyond that. Except that it got used for violence. Except that it doesn't go to the point of predicting God. It doesn't go to the point of who God is. Who is Jesus? It doesn't go to that point. Indeed, these people all walked out of their churches or synagogues. They'd had enough of that Western theology and Yahweh and God and Jesus and all of it. And Muhammad and the angel Gabriel and the rest of it. No, they went east. Along with the spiritualists, Madame Blavatsky and Gurdjieff, and that old scoundrel, Aleister Crowley, and pop culture, and everything, wound up in Diddy's library. Everything you need to know about stirring something up and getting millions of dollars for it. Anyway, so, But all of it, 100%, fell short. Because why? Why? You got your little bone there, Ben? Why? Because the builders of Western civilization rejected the cornerstone of all knowledge, of all faith, of all wisdom, and decided that to stop at quantum mechanics, the quantum mechanical formulae theorized by Einstein and put into effect by Oppenheimer, about, you know, we'll just smash things. We'll just smash Adam. We'll smash things. We'll find out what's at the bottom of it all. Only, you know, you don't hear much about CERN, do you?
Oh, it's a big portal to hell. It's letting out Apollyon and going to let the demons out. Going to get out.
Mm-hmm. Well, I suppose it could be used for that. You know, it's funny. You listen to a guy like Anthony Patch from years ago talking about all this stuff in Saturn. You know, remember Saturn, in Orion and lizard territory. And they all talk so eloquently and they're well-read, but they don't seem to understand this collider. Or at least I don't agree with them. I guess that's more what it is. The souls are going to come through Saturn and they're going to appear. A matrix extends to the Earth, and, you know, I don't know. I just, it's tortured. And I forget exactly what he said. It wasn't worth remembering what was said. It didn't really light the world on fire. People didn't really have an aha moment. The hardcore junkies, for scientific truth, they got off on it. They thought, now we're in the realm of science. Now we're going to figure out God. Except they didn't. And their predictions look like they've fallen a little bit to the wayside. But the one thing we do have is World War III. And there are several times over the last 2 decades I have warned about it. I warned about it in my written word. And I may go back to more of a written word for warning. I would joke and I would say, look, if my predictions come true, none of us will be here. So I quit talking about it. But I mean, I was, you know, I think a lot of people were saying things like, even prophetic voices that came here, like Richard Wurmbrand, he said, he agreed with others like him that came to America. And he said, you know, if God spares America, he has to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. He must have made a mistake there. Thing is, the mistake, it's never God's mistake. That's the first mistake of understanding God. It's not his mistake. It's misuse of free will by human that brings the, you know, consequences. And the Bible's very clear in, you know, in saying, no, God is not mocked. You know, if you mock God at your own risk, then I assure you, the people plotting all this stuff and blowing up, you know, Nord Stream pipelines and bridges and having their World War III fun, asymmetrical war, you know, not one army facing another, but it's not a big launch of nukes one way and another way. It's supply lines. You know, it's the whole goal of the Biden administration, for example, is to abide in the world leadership of the WEF and the others and the UN, et cetera, and get the food off the shelves of the supermarkets. Make it so people go in there, there's nothing to buy, like it was in the Soviet Union. Do this to your, you know, and it's, I just want to destroy my own people. I want to kill every American I see, and I'm the president. It's just not going fast enough for me. I mean, we need to confiscate these cars and barbecues and stoves and you know, put them in prison. And anyone that voted for Trump needs to be executed. I mean, come on. And that's Biden's head. That's where the head of Jen Psaki is. That's where the head of Kamala Harris is. That's where the head of the CIA is. The NSA. It's just called hatred of Americans, hatred of the Republic. Love democracy as long as they're in control of the totalitarian democratic state. It's a democratic state they want in the Ukraine, so they look for democratic leaders. Right? Those are leaders that will obey George Soros. So we know all this. Yes, we know all this stuff. So the bridge, you know, I don't want to be having to report on this bridge thing because it's going to speed up and there'll be a lot more. Biden warned there'd be mass death. He said, you're just going to have to get used to it. And if you want to rebel and you're mad about having to die, if you're mad that your kids are being sold into prostitution, if you're mad that you're being put in concentration camps, if you're mad that your money is being stolen out of your bank accounts, you're going to have to come at me. I'm doing it all. Biden and my team, led by Barack Obama and others, whoever the heads of the CIA and all that are, they're leading the charge for global communism, global one world government, etc. And they realize they have to kill the real Americans to get rid of the idea of a republic, put in the idea of a mob-ruled democratic state run by thugs so there'll never be a free election again. It's war, but the war is the U.S. government against the people of the United States. So therefore, okay, ergo sum, therefore, the bridge is the fault of the U.S. All part of a long plan. In fact, many dirty hands on that thing, probably internationally. But, you know, obviously according to plan, any idiot that takes the footage, and if you speed it up a little bit, you'll see the turn, you'll see the lights flickering on and off, which, you know, they gave a Mayday signal, but by then they were taken over, and, you know, there was a hard, intentional turn. And then they did it beautifully. I don't understand what people have, like, the boat wasn't shaking or drifting or, you know, just skimmed it. It turned to a direct hit. It did the job, and then that's the end of it. No, you're not looking at the result. The result is this. No food on the shelves. And this time around, no beer to drink. You know, this is I've always felt really deeply, spiritually, that they wanted to, that they operate on punishment. Punishment is their main word for this group of people. They're punishers. And they want to punish anyone that ideologically is different than them. But they believe they need to be punished before death. The other thing is they want them to die before they can repent. Very important point. We forget that. So while this little bridge thing doesn't look like a big black swan event, it's all part of you might call it a slow motion black swan, that will affect supply lines. Look how many containers run that cargo ship. Those are not going to go to where they were going to go to. And what that's going to do, it's going to boost the cost of all the goods and services up. People already can't afford it. We're seeing the beginning of squatters. But see, the people that are squatting were trained, you know, again, by NGOs, and they were recruited and trained how to squat, how to do it, and what legal framework they have to use to, you know, it's all part of the Bolshevik style punishment. You need to be punished because you've been living in that house. You've been enjoying your privilege. You've been having tomahawk ribeyes. You've been traveling. You've been reading books that you choose to read. You've been watching programs you choose to watch. Therefore, your punishment is huge. We're going to kill everyone in your family, and we're going to kill all your children. We're going to kill your grandchildren. We're going to kill everything that's anything left of your DNA is already booked in our laboratory, so we don't need you anymore. We could always recreate you if we wanted. We're just going to kill you all. How dare you raise your voice to Joe Biden? You know, senile old man. How dare you pick on him? And the reason people are confused about that is because he acts like an adult, but somehow you sense that he's a seething, angry, violent man underneath, just waiting for that next terror attack or something he can do to the people. And his favorite target, folks, are the people who voted for him, because they obviously need to be punished for having been too stupid to figure it out. So they may end up going first in terms of losing their homes, being victims of squatting and car theft. I'm not proud to say, here in America, folks, the knockout game has returned. And it's spreading coast to coast. People getting randomly smacked in the face by people that are just, you know, feel entitled to do it. People that have been trained to go up and down the street looking for anything egregious, white people, you know, anybody with any kind of privilege, anybody that's established, anything that is, you know, is represents society, I suppose, needs to be eliminated. And the other thing is they're also eyeing, you know, Rodeo Drive and other places before they've shut down, and they intend to drive that out of business. They don't intend to rob it and keep it there. That would be a low-level mentality. These are expert planners. These are people that live in think tanks. They have plans for your retail centers. They have plans for your cruise ships. They've got plans for your island living. So they're very sophisticated. But they lose. They lose due to your faith. So let's turn back to that. The positive thinking seminar is not going to help you or me. And all of that, you know, I mean, I agree that being positive brings about better results than being negative. And we should all know that innately. Prayer and worship should bring us into a positive state of mind. But it's the Alpha and the Omega. It's the first and the last. It's the slain before the foundation of the world. It's the timeless time. It's the beyond quantum physics, beyond what Oppenheimer could figure out, beyond what CERN. I just have to laugh at them. How pathetic. And then just to top it off, to prove how dumb they are, they put up a Shiva, Lord of the Dance, as their symbol outside their offices in Switzerland, which it just tops it, you're right, tops up, it sends you the message, right? The lineage, science. You know, people don't stop it. They're going to wind up being, eaten for dinner. If they don't knock it off, really, they just got to stop talking, stop thinking, stop making moves. There's very little truth out there right now on the internet because they've censored it. They let people through with like half truth. It's censored. I don't know why they haven't shut me. I guess they haven't shut me down because I'm so under the radar. I'm so shadow banned. People hear about me. It's one person here, one person there. Somebody over in, China. Somebody, in the Philippines. Somebody in, Canada. It just kind of goes like that. And really, the Zephyr Report is for, it's not meant to replace news at all. I think what we're trying to do, what we are doing, is we are maintaining a consistent trajectory, cutting through this whole malaise. I want to be able to, at the end, to be able to say, to not have to apologize for a lot of things. I want it, but that is contingent upon my living in the spirit and not so much in the commerce, in the commercial world. And, that's, I've always had, the ability, to make not like putting a poster out, predictions, 5 cents, I'll tell you your life. Let me read your palm. It's not like that. It's like I'm in a world and things are whirling around and I say things that I may not even understand at the time. And then later on they make sense. But somebody else might pick up on it and say, you said that. And I'll say, I did. And that's when it works best. That's when it works best. And it's really strange because in that modality of prophetic whatever, you can't stop and say, listen. You can't put up a shingle with your name on a resident prophet or something like that. You can't say any of those things. Right? Because you can tell me to predict the game this weekend, and I'll get it wrong. The horse is running, get it wrong. It's in the flow of whatever that things start happening. Like the song Lizards, and then now it's paid off, hasn't it? It was predictive, and then it became fulfilled. So that was in the form of a song. I'm just giving that as an example of how it works. So it's never like, here's what I think is going to happen, because that, whenever you're going to pontificate, you wind up being a victim of your own subjectivity, and I can't explain when it's happening, and it's up to people to pay attention. Like I pay attention to news articles and commercials, billboards, movies coming out, trailers, just different things as they go by, and then sometimes I'll blurt something out. Something may occur to me in the midst of it, and I realize that that's nothing you can charge money for. You can't make a living. You can just be. And, so the podcast become a, like a personal journey through trauma. And if I were not traumatized from childhood and, you know, split and screwed up and messed up, then nothing would occur. Nothing would be accurate. Everything would be off if I wasn't damaged exactly the way I was damaged. So, you know, logic would not serve me. I know some great writers. They're very logical. You know, they write on Substack. And you know, they may make some predictions that come true. I mean, I think they're all making the prediction that we're definitely in World War III and we're going to go through it. So, but I think we already, I think World War III has gone on a lot longer than this last month. So that's what I mean. You know, it's elusive, especially when you're trying to teach about non-linear things like God, like Jesus. We have all these children's stories, but we don't really get into the scientific nitty-gritty. Well, what does it mean, Alpha and Omega, simultaneously? What does that mean? And most people just guess or say something that, you know, is biased toward the church, or biased toward the Bible, or biased toward something that other people could go, yep, uh-huh, uh-huh. So they have consensus. So they go home and sleep at night. I mean, well, how awful it would be to figure out the Alpha and the Omega and then have to take it to the bed every night alone and no one will listen and no one understands. How awful that would be of a fate, that whatever you're given in terms of wisdom, you cannot share because people have no interest or ability to take it in and grapple with it. And even if they did, they wouldn't interact with you anyway. And so there's that. And that must be a lot of people that go to bed at night and they couldn't get through their parents, they couldn't get through their children, they couldn't get through to their golf club with their polo shirts and their little cleated Italian shoes. on the way back to surgical, because they got to do a few more surgeries to make enough money to keep that get the next Rolex. You know, and they got to prescribe a lot more medication to you, to get you dumbed down, so they can get back on that golf course. How awful it must be if there was someone amongst them explaining this stuff to them, and they couldn't, the walls are closing in, folks. I'm drowning in a sea of silence. Where can I go with my troubled mind now? Won't somebody just say, I may not understand, but I'll listen, brother. I'll listen. Maybe I'll have something to say about it, but I will listen, I promise. And by the time something like that happens, which is a complete miracle, the actual speaker is dead. "'Tis a tale told by an idiot." So the answer to the whole thing is something you can't have unless you access through, you know, the mystical aspect of prayer and consideration and consciousness, that you too are understanding the nonlinear aspect of time, space, eternity, infinity. And you just know that as you're in sync with it, you know all things and everything that will happen and has happened and will happen again and won't happen again. But you just can't say it because you don't know where to go with it. And so we settle on this childish form of Christianity where we beg God for favors. Please don't let them hurt me, Lord. Please don't let them foreclose on me, Lord. Please don't. Please intervene, Lord. Please give me discernment, Lord. Please guide me in the way that I might be effective in serving you. What would you like me to do, Lord? What do you want me to do, Lord? Where would you like to go today? Well, and I've actually done this. I would drive at random. Like, I remember on my motorcycle, I'd drive on my motorcycle to an old schoolyard at the top of Roscommon Road in Bel Air. And across the street was walking somebody that had gotten shock treatments, but her father was dominating her and took over her consciousness. And here, some 30 years later, 40 years, is her father walking her like a dog down the sidewalk. And the Lord took me to see that. I said, "Where would you like to go?" And he took me to this parking lot. And across the street, there was a sidewalk. And there were houses on the side of the ridge there. It's sort of, you know, as it led up to Mulholland. And what are the odds on that? There are none. It can't happen. It never happened. So it goes over the head, beyond the head, glazed over. Who cares? Nothing. But I knew it was the Lord because I asked the Lord, "Well, where do you want to go?" And that I was taken there. And then he said, "Understand, son. Do you understand? Do you understand? Do you understand?" Very sad. What the shock treatments will do to a person. Make them obedient and compliant so that she could never leave her father's prison that he made for her to keep her home and under his watchful eye and under his claw and under his cage to be further tortured and further traumatized. Make sure he would derive a great deal of happiness in this arrangement. Do you understand? You didn't see this. This didn't happen. But some 30, 40 years ago, you saw her get shock treatments. You talked to her. Yeah, I remember. How do we get to that point? How do we get to that point of seeing that? How? It's beyond time and space. How? Why? Well, that's a big amen, a big confirm. Ask God where he wants to go. Go there and see what happens. What's the bigger implication? That people don't change. They stay like that. Just wait till humanity wakes up, then you'll really see. What? Wait till humanity wakes up? You must be joking. Wait till humanity wakes up, and then we're really going to get it in gear and get beyond this lizard planet and go out into space and into the stars and into the great beyond, into the great infinity with God and warmth and eternity and no death. You mean that? That? You mean that? Well, anyway, it's been a pleasure talking to you. I often, you know, get a little bit introspective about these things because I think I had a word today earlier before I got up here. I didn't sleep very well last night. And the word was, you know, bring back the philosophy of Jesus. Bring back the philosophy of Godhead. Bring back the mathematics. Bring back the cosmology. Bring it to bear. I prayed about it, and the Lord said to use these numbers, not those. Okay, make that decision and use the numbers the Lord gave you. And let's see where that goes. Now we're in a whole new realm with God. It's got nothing to do with children's stories. And I think because it's being uttered right now, this, you know, call it a frustration or a, I don't know what you call it, whatever it is. It will be alleviated. It will be solved. It will be remedied. And if not, if people want to resist, they have free will, they can resist all they like. They've been doing it for thousands of years. The majority of people on earth have resisted the truth, no matter what. And the people who say the truth have been persecuted by the people who resist the truth. And that game has been going on long enough and needs to stop. And so now we have the rebuilding of the bridge. Build back better. It's so funny for when they say President Biden. Now, I realize, you know, having the binary choice of Biden or Trump, each one is a disaster in a sense, that the unrest with Trump would be so much that could people overcome it, you know, the rioting and all the, you know, the just awful vitriolic hatred. And then the Biden thing of people patting him on the head like, isn't that nice with his ice cream cone? Meanwhile, he's like this little fucking monster that wants everybody dead. He's, thousands of people have been killed by illegals. It's no big, what's one more? It's no big deal, he said in his State of the Union. Do you recall it? How many recall when he said thousands have been killed by illegals? Well, he said that as a way to diminish the one he was trying to deal with, and diminish the subject altogether, because he can't deal with it, because he knows
people are being killed at random all over the United States. They're being killed. They're being thrown out of their houses. They're being smacked on the subway. It's just an all-out assault. And it's going to get worse. It's all being done by... Obama was the one that set the tone for this. He wants punishment. It doesn't matter if you follow the laws. You paid your taxes. You went to a few ball games of his favorite team, whatever. What matters is that you need to be punished for what you have done in the past, where you have lived, where you went to school, what kind of food you ate, what kind of clubs you belonged to, who your friends were. That's why you must be punished. That's why you must be killed. That's your crime. Same thing happened in China. You lived in this castle. You lived with privilege. You had all these perks. You had your own thing going. You weren't starving and worried and upset like these people that are coming to take your place. Well, time they took your place, but before they do, please allow them to torture and kill you. That's right. You know, sex trafficking with the wife and the kids, right? The drive out to the shelter, but you never make it. The machine gun, the 50 cal comes out of another truck, and boom de boom boom, hamburger meat in a convenient ditch somewhere, or somewhere where the wolves can get it, and then the truck is back for more. Take no prisoners. Unleashed by whom? This was all unleashed by the American people. Oh, well, the Europeans, the Australians, the New Zealanders, the First World unleashed this. And so what I've said is that if you don't like this, you want to turn it off. And turn back to God. Don't think it. Don't overthink it. Just turn back to God. You know, last night, I got to tell you, I had a joyous evening, sans alcohol. I wasn't worried about anything. I wasn't thinking about anything. I was just enjoying my little, you know, my wife and my dog and my house being alive, praising the Lord, having a little dinner, watching an excellent movie, which is one of my passions. And was having a wonderful night. Grateful for the night I'm having. Not going to worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. But I was in that space, folks, that Jesus tells us we can get into. I was happy in the moment. I was filled with love and gratitude. Filled with good vibes. Good thinking. For everybody I know, even my enemies. Like a real healing was about to come over me. Oh, don't worry, it was interrupted overnight. But that feeling is worth getting again. All I have to do is say, Lord Jesus, bring me closer. I'll do what you want me to do. In fact, my want is your want, and your want is my want. So there's nothing against my want going on. Therefore, there's no choice. Of course, that can get a bit heady, but, you know, that's a good way to think about it. Every time I have been led by the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, by the Almighty, in the end, it's been, well, he led me there, but that's where I wanted to go. So it's win-win, one-to-one, equal. I wanted to go where he wanted me to go. It went there, and it all became this impossible experience, a miracle experience that could not be explained by natural law. Hello. And whenever that happens, I'm ecstatic. You know, I could have had, when I was a child, and I was going through like a, I was in an Episcopal school going through a confirmation, kind of like a Catholic, you know, same kind of thing. And I back in those days, they would ask you questions like, why is it important to be baptized? What is the purpose of the church? What is the purpose of a Christian? You know, things like that. I would have loved if we could have taken this whole thing. I could have entertained much more than that, than these rudimentary concepts. You know, and one of the problems is when it becomes intellectual, I should give to the poor now. What if I just find myself in that situation of giving to the poor, where I just was led into the, not even knowing how or why, but there I am doing it, rather than subject-object relationship within, you should do this, I should do that, you should do this, and I should do that. I want to do that, but you should do this. Okay, then I'll do what you say. I should, is it me? Or is it you? Or is it Memorex? What is it? Of course, thinking outside the box, you can go a bit nuts. But it's the only way that I can show Jesus to be conceptually more sophisticated than all the other philosophies upon the earth, and for one reason. You know, neither the Big Bang, nor the Super Collider, nor the Atom, nor Oppenheimer, not anything that man has done has ever explained God. You know, in a practical, understandable way. Now, I've got to get going here. We pray that the brain cells come back that I just spent, because I went a little bit crazy and, you know, just trying to show that when you're in contemplation and prayer, you know, we get these questions that nobody can answer, but the Lord can answer, and you can know in your heart the truth. And then act on that, and then the other thing is, when we're all talking, it's one conversation, not several. It's one discussion. So everything that's coming in that discussion is all part of your discussion, and it's part of your discussion, and you, and you, and you, and you. That's what makes it really exciting. People don't understand when they hear you. They see that and they get worried. And with that, I'm going to check out here. And, you know, I like the format of about an hour, because usually when I go on beyond that, it starts becoming, it's just not as fresh as that first hour, I think. So think about the bridge on the River Kwai. You break the bridge, right, in order to then rebuild it and give people a job and good pay. God bless you, each and every one. May the Lord have mercy upon you and give you peace. Peace now. Peace in your minds. Peace in your souls.
If you go on stage. what affects me, not you. I don't care if I ever sit down to see me, let alone you. Again, thank you. Hustle to the left, hustle to the right. Sit down, stand up, ready for a fight. No more holograms this time.
Draw.